This is our number 10.
It's time for the fastest 15 minutes in the news. This is Dory's Fastest 15.
It is a world of news in a tidy little 15-minute package just for you. Welcome to our Fastest 15. And we are just getting a couple pieces of breaking news in. And, yeah, I told you, I thought Donald Trump was a fine president. The economy kept us safe, took out terrorists. I thought he was a fine president until coronavirus took him out. I have grave concerns about Joe Biden. Let me tell you about a couple pieces of breaking. And I'll tell you what else I have grave concerns about. You know, all these people who for the last 4 years have been screaming about what a child Donald Trump is. Let me tell you about a bill that's just been introduced this afternoon in Washington, D.C. House Democrats have introduced a bill that would ban former U.S. presidents who have been impeached twice from being buried at Arlington National Cemetery. And since the House has impeached Donald Trump twice, even though the Senate did not go on to confirm those impeachments, but it counts as an impeachment by the House. And so they've passed this childlike bill, something that an 8-year-old would do against the classmate who is mean to them. So they've just introduced a bill that would prevent twice impeached former presidents from burial at Arlington National Cemetery. And, of course, Donald Trump is the only person who would fall under that category as of now. And they're calling it, I'm telling you, man, putting these Democrats in charge, these are little children. They're calling it the No Glory for Hate Act. Oh, my goodness gracious. Okay, so I've got that just coming in as we begin the Fastest 15. And then also, Joe Biden was going to go to Michigan today, but they canceled the trip, they said, because of snow, even though they could easily get to Air Force One and fly out, no problem. I have flown out of a blizzard in Washington, D.C. They've called an early lid at the White House today. Let me get this to you because I'm just getting this in. President Biden took a snow day Thursday as varying forecasts call for D.C. to receive between 1 and 4 inches of snow. Vice President Kamala Harris will carry on with scheduled in-person events, but Joe Biden was supposed to go to Michigan to tour a Pfizer COVID-19 vaccine manufacturing facility. But at 8 a.m., the White House declared a lid for reporters, meaning there would be no more events for the president that day. There would be nothing in person the rest of the day. And they, I'm just reading more. 12:30 press briefing with Jen Psaki, the press secretary, is going to be conducted by phone. 1 to 4 inches in a fairly flat city, and the president declares a lid and can't see anybody? He can't do his job? Kamala Harris has taken his calls for anybody who is supposed to have an in-person meeting with the president? The vice president is doing that? This is, well, I mean, it's what we knew. It's what we knew going in. But Joe Biden is, I believe, not the acting president of the United States. I think there are a lot of other operatives, which is why we had an all-time record number of executive orders, one more radical than the other. Let's wipe out 11,000 pipeline jobs. Okay. It's just, It's crazy. It's absolutely crazy. So, yeah, I'll say it. I miss President Trump. Taxes, they're trying to absolutely skyrocket taxes in D.C. Had a lot of people who say, yeah, Trump just keeps adding to the deficit. Look at what Joe's doing to the deficit in less than a month. With, you know, they're battling over the stimulus bill, and they are trying desperately to send out more checks, bigger checks, to solidify the 2022 midterm elections. Yeah, let's just give away. Let's print money so we can win the midterms in 2022. This is going to be interesting. People thought, oh, things are going to get boring now that Trump's out of office. No, it's not going to be boring. There's all kinds of really strange stuff going on already. Okay, let's get into the Fastest 15. Nicole, have you been following the story out of Mount Vernon with the sign stealing?
Yeah, well, I looked at all the... Yeah, I was following it last night, yes.
Okay, so we had sketchy details yesterday, and I want to give credit to King 5, which did a fine job of covering the story. But here's what we heard. The sketchy details were there's a couple in their mid-50s that lives in a house by the side of the road, and another couple in their early 30s, they were driving by this house, and they saw a political yard sign that they didn't like. So they went to steal the yard sign, the couple driving by in the early 30s. They went to steal the yard sign. Let me play for you. This is the undersheriff, Chad Clark, telling King 5 that the people in the house at first thought their mail was being stolen when this young couple ran out.
An unknown car to the homeowners pulls up near their driveway on the other side of their gate, out near the road, thought their mailboxes were getting messed with. The 58-year-old male who owns the residence went out there to find out what's going on, got into a confrontation with the driver of the suspect vehicle.
Okay, so the couple who lives in the house gets in a confrontation with the couple that had been driving by in the car, and eventually the woman who lives in the house got a gun and shot and killed the 32-year-old woman who had come up on her property.
The 58-year-old's wife, 55-year-old female, came out of the house, fired several rounds, and a female that got out of that truck that was out of that vehicle that was there was struck and killed.
Okay, so I was wondering what was on this sign that made it so horrible that a couple in their early 30s, they had been sledding somewhere or tubing in the snow, and they see a sign in somebody's yard that is so horrifying to them that they had to run up and steal it and then apparently initiate a fight. Well, we now have the rest of the story. Because, again, King 5 went up and covered the story again. And this is one of the weirder stories that I've heard in a long, long time. So let me the writer of this piece is Kayla Lafferty at King 5. So listen to what happened in this confrontation.
I just want to wake up from this nightmare.
Oh, and I want to tell you, the first voice you're hearing is the boyfriend of the 32-year-old who got shot and killed. Okay, here's the boyfriend.
I just want to wake up from this nightmare.
Joshua Tryon and his girlfriend, Cameron Cohey, were driving home after sledding Saturday when they pulled off on Big Lake Road in Mount Vernon to let some air out of their tires. Tryon admits that he saw a Lauren Cole for governor sign and he grabbed it.
What? That's what this was about? Somebody still had a Lauren Culp sign up. And by the way, I don't know that I would keep a Lauren Culp sign up. He hasn't acquitted himself very well since the election. But these two, I assume, are, you know, far lefties. And they're so outraged that they see, just by seeing a Lauren Culp sign, who lost, don't have to really worry about Lauren Culp, but they go up to steal the sign and continue to listen. King 5 got great audio with this boyfriend.
I think I threw it in the back of my truck and I hopped back in my truck. I should have left at that moment, but my adrenaline was rushing. And
according to court doc,
again, your adrenaline was rushing. Ooh, you're quite the thrill seeker, aren't you, sir? So they saw Lauren Culp's sign. He throws it in the back of the truck. His adrenaline starts rushing. And it sounds like they got out of the truck to go up and confront the homeowners who had the sign out in their yard.
Angela Conine and her husband John saw Tryon steal their sign, so they left the house to confront the couple. There was a fight, but the details surrounding how it escalated are sketchy. Conine.
I'll tell you how it escalated, because this moron couple driving by, stealing somebody's political sign, and then instead of driving off, deciding to walk up and engage. I couldn't believe, and by the way, they're not a moron couple. They are a couple who acted moronically in this instance. I'm doing so much better at not name-calling people. Yeah, they're not more a moron couple. They acted moronically this one time.
Allegedly got a gun, shot, and killed the victim, Cameron Cohee.
We never needed to come to a gun. I didn't have a weapon. They didn't. Me and him are just fighting.
Conine is charged.
Me and him are just fighting. This guy's 32, I believe. He's fighting a 58-year-old after stealing his Culp for Governor sign. And then this guy's shocked that the wife sees her husband fighting with some guy who'd been driving by. And then the wife goes, and I'm not condoning what the wife did, but I'm also not shocked by it either. You see your spouse in a fight with a person who's 26 years younger than them? Yeah, there's some people who might want to intervene and help their spouse out. And this boyfriend, who his girlfriend's dead now, and this boyfriend is, you know, talking about what victims they are, and how I was just stealing a sign. I was just in a fight.
Charged in Skagit County with second-degree murder. Her attorney argued in her first appearance for her to be released without bail.
Your Honor, this is a case of self-defense and defense of others.
There's no way this is self-defense. The evidence will prove that. Cameron was shot in front of the truck. We were nowhere near their house.
Now Tryon says he carries the burden of what happened.
I have a lot of guilt because I... the one that ultimately stopped to get that sign over something silly, you know, and my friend lost her life because of it.
I mean, isn't that unbelievable? He saw the sign, and so he had to pull over in his truck so they could steal it, and then gets in a fight, and then is so upset because the wife of the guy who's fighting comes out with a gun. It's just, look, the wife's in a huge jackpot for four murder charges. And what she did was very foolish because it's far too much an escalation of force to a fist fight. So it's very foolish. But this boyfriend of the 32-year-old gal who got murdered, it's just unbelievable. Unbelievable to listen to. So, Mount Vernon. I like Mount Vernon. I like the basketball. Best basketball gym in the state is in Mount Vernon. It's right out of Hoosiers, man. Okay. Hey, what should I do here, Nicole? Because I got so obsessed on this next story, but I don't want to cut it off.
I know. I'm a little bit worried because we don't have a lot of other time to talk about this story.
Jam-packed show today. So here's what happened. Do you watch The Bachelor, Nicole?
I have watched some of The Bachelors. Not all 20-whatever seasons, but I've watched...
25.
Yeah.
They're in season 25 right now. Okay. I have never seen an episode of The Bachelor or The Bachelorette. But... a couple of my daughters used to watch it. Now one of my daughters still watches it. So, yeah, they're not here at the house anymore.
I could probably guess which one.
Well, you probably could. Back when they were living at the house, I kind of through osmosis, you know, got to at least be aware of who everybody is. And so the host is this guy named Chris Harrison. And for a show I have never watched, I became obsessed with this racism controversy that flared up last week, apparently. And I'll try to explain a little bit of this, and then I'll get back to the rest of it later. But the woman who is one of the final four women who's trying to date the bachelor, and do they often get married, or is it just they?
Yes, normally it's a proposal. So right now they're considered dating him. They're all dating him. And then at the end, he usually proposes, may propose, may just say he wants to think about proposing.
So that's just gross. So four people are dating one person and they're all making out with that one person. That's gross. Why would you want to kiss somebody who is just kissing somebody else or maybe sleeping with somebody else the night before?
The things you do for love, I guess.
No, you have no self-respect. And it's not about love. It's about fame. You know, they want to be in these fabulous mansions where the show is set. So anyway, one of the final four women, she was 3 years ago, she was in a sorority that had a sorority party at a antebellum mansion in the deep South. And people decided, well, she's a racist. And by the way, she's white, and the bachelor this season is a black guy. So she, you know, wants to, you know, marry this black guy. So I don't know if she's a racist, but they decided that she's a racist because she went to a sorority party at an antebellum mansion 3 years ago. And then the host, Chris Harrison, he talked to Extra with this woman who used to be the bachelorette, who's Chris Harrison's white, the host on Extra is black. And he said, I don't know if she's a racist.
What are your thoughts about Rachel Kirkconnell and the allegations attached to her?
A couple of things. First and foremost, I don't know. I haven't talked to Rachel about it. And this is, again, where we all need to have a little grace, a little understanding, a little compassion, because I've seen some stuff online.
Whoa, whoa, whoa. Grace? Understanding? Compassion? This is 2021, pal. No, I mean, Chris Harrison, I don't know anything about the guy. I don't know if he's a good guy or not. But I think that's kind of nice to hear somebody say, well, we should have grace, compassion, you know, extend a little mercy for somebody who went to a sorority party 3 years ago. And he said, yeah, but by the standards of 2018, maybe it wasn't as bad as what we know in 2021. So Chris Harrison now has had to resign after 25 seasons, not 25 years, because they'll do more than one season in a calendar year. But he's had to resign temporarily, they say, as the host of The Bachelor. And then you get all the rest of these people who start digging into the girl who went to the sorority party. And these are horrible people who are on the internet just trying to destroy lives. And this young woman made a TikTok video about the bachelor contestant who went to the sorority party.
Here's Rachel Kirkconnell in 60 seconds. She's been known for liking racist pictures on social media, and if not racist, highly insensitive, as well as photos of her MAGA friends. Although it appears she's much too privileged to vote. Her mom supports Republican Christian nationalists, and her dad seems like a Trump supporter who bullies.
Oh, well, she is a horrible racist. If they're Christian Republicans and dad's a Trump supporter, oh, you don't get much worse than that.
Keep one welfare, which makes sense since he's a frequent donor to Win Red, which of course was created to try to help Trump win 2020.
What? Her dad is a political campaign donor as well? And it goes on and on. And here's the bottom line. Social media is evil. And that is your Fastest 15.
This has been the Fastest 15 Minutes in the News. Fast Stories, Fastest 15.
You give us 15 minutes, I'll need 25. to do everything we want to do. Okay, quick timeout, and then amazing story that my friend and colleague Jason Rance from 770 KTTH has come up with. You got to hear this. Wait until you hear where Washington State's federal COVID dollars have been going. Jason will join us next. Well, remember a couple of months ago when the state was failing dramatically at getting a vaccine plan out to the people? Even though the feds gave us $5 million to come up with and implement a plan, well, where did that money go? And some other federal money that we have received. My friend and colleague, Jason Rance, who you can hear every afternoon, 3 to 6 on 770 KTTH, has an absolutely great piece about how the state was funneling this money, not based on public health reasons, but shockingly, on politics. Jason joins us here on the Dory Monson Show.
I'm
Jason,
so shocked. Good to talk to you. So shocked. Yeah, I cannot believe it.
Well, it's this is just a great piece by you. But so the feds gave us COVID relief tax dollars. This is a little different from the implementation plan that I was talking about earlier. But they gave us these COVID relief dollars. What did you find out about what the state of Washington did with all this COVID money?
Yeah, so we got the CARES Relief Act federal tax dollars, $12 million of which went into the Washington Equity Relief Fund, which was a fund that was set up to help nonprofits that were struggling during the early part of the pandemic and never quite recovered. And that's obviously a reasonable cause to get behind in the grand scheme of things. $12 million isn't all that much. However, the tax dollars that were doled out were doled out on the basis of race, and some of the vetting seems to have been influenced more by ideology than by the actual need. So in order to qualify to get these funds, you would have to have a management structure. Your nonprofit would have to be run by community persons of color, and the group itself would have to exclusively help communities of color. So in other words, let's say you are a group of white women who have a nonprofit and you're helping the homeless community in Seattle, Spokane, Tacoma. You would not qualify for this fund. So right there is obviously a controversy. You've got reviewers who are looking at all the applications that are coming in, and they are the ones who are making the recommendations on doling out the funds, except the reviewers themselves also chosen on the basis of their race. So I started to look through the list of the different organizations that were getting money, and there were some that popped out to me. CARE of Washington, for example, the Council on Islamic American Relations, they have an $800,000 budget the previous year. I did not realize that they would have qualified for this, and yet, of course, they do. You have an organization.
And let me just say something about CARE, because I know more than a little bit about this organization, as do you. At the national level, they have ties to known terror organizations like Hamas, as you point out in your piece that's up at My Northwest. I mean, this is in many ways a problematic organization, and for them to be prioritized for these COVID dollars is pretty shocking to me.
It is. They ended up getting a $50,000 grant. And as a Jew, I don't want my money going into an organization that has ties to anti-Semites locally. Of course, they fundraise for Ilhan Omar, who is a congresswoman who is an anti-Semite, in my view. But the one that...
You know what? As a Christian, I don't want money going into anti-Semitic. Yeah, well, I'm just trying to be a brother here, you know?
Yeah, no, I can appreciate that. And I think most people on either side, because let's be clear, if the dollars went to some hardcore conservative groups who were involved in lobbying on behalf of conservative ideals and policies, there would be uproar. And I also would be upset with that. Probably not as upset, but yes, I would be upset with it. So there's one organization that ended up getting $50,000. It's called the Bail Project Spokane. Now, this is part of a national group which opposes cash bail, and it's been responsible for paying the bail for criminals nationwide who end up committing high-profile crimes after release. And so I started to dig into the documentation as to why this group, again, a national group, ended up getting any funds. And it turns out, it would appear, that this was a group that got their funding because the people liked the cause. I looked at the rationale justification document that they had. The only thing that mentioned passively any kind of COVID, maybe COVID-related financial impact is just that it's a, quote, small startup program, which it is not. It is 100% not a small startup program. This is a national group that 2 years ago had a budget of $25 million, the year prior had a budget of $15 million. So this is just a local organization that's tied to the national group. But then when you read the full document, it is all about liking the cause of getting rid of cash bail. It's political.
Yeah. Well, and this national bail project has been promoted by Kamala Harris during the campaign. Hollywood celebrities are behind it. If we're talking about public health, it hasn't been very good for the public health because some of the people who have been bailed out by dollars from this program have subsequently gone on to murder people on at least a couple of occasions and to commit sexual assaults. And again, this is one of the groups. And that's maybe the one that shocked me the most, Jason, to hear that they were getting prioritized by the state of Washington for federal COVID relief dollars. That's amazing to me.
Yeah, and especially when they literally don't make a case, at least in the documents at the Department of Commerce who administered this, they do not make the case that they even suffered as a result of the coronavirus crisis. Not that that wouldn't matter, but it appears they didn't even do any due diligence on the vetting. There's a piece out today in the Spokesman Review that did a follow-up to this piece, and it gives off the impression that they were just rushing to get the dollars out, so they acknowledged that they didn't really do much vetting, which is a problem in and of itself.
Well, look, we talked a few weeks ago about how Washington was fluctuating anywhere from 34th to 41st in the nation in actually getting vaccines into the arms of its citizens. And if they're getting federal COVID dollars and using it, funneling it for purely left-wing political operations, mm-hmm. then what a massive failure in the public health realm. Our data daddy seems to be more interested in far left-wing politics than in actually protecting the people from the coronavirus.
And it's on the basis of race. That is the other thing that people really need to understand. They selected groups that only were run by people of color. So let us not pretend that there was any fairness in any of this. Let us not pretend that there are just a bunch of nonprofits run by white people that suddenly are not subject to the difficulties in raising money during a pandemic economy. Nonprofits across the board, regardless of who they serve and regardless of who run them, are having a hard time right now. The ones that are non-political, especially, are having a hard time. And so to just completely shut them out because they are perceived as privileged just seems wrong and unethical.
Yeah, no, it is both of those things. Well, everybody should check out Jason's piece, which is on his show page at mynorthwest.com. It's a great bit of work by you once again, Jason. Nicely done.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
Okay, there's the word. The state of Washington funneled federal COVID relief dollars that were supposed to help nonprofits get through these tough economic times, but they made their decisions best based on left-wing ideology and the race of the people involved in the nonprofits. Love to hear your thoughts. You can text me at 98973. That's 98973. And we have lots more still to come here on the Dory Monson Show. Been a very exciting day for people involved with the space program. A NASA team had been working on this Mars rover mission called Perseverance. And it did land on Mars today. There was a huge cheer at NASA about it. Jay Inslee, man, he knows how to get kids fired up about space and about science and programs like the Perseverance mission. He was speaking. Do you know where Jay Inslee was when he talked about this, Nicole? What's the source?
I believe he was at the Puyallup schools. I think he was talking to kids that were maybe in school for part of the day or whatever.
Okay. All right. So Governor Inslee, he was getting the kids all fired up about the rover landing on Mars. And man, this is inspirational.
Does anybody know where Mars is? Where's Mars?
In outer space.
It is. Which direction is it? Do you know? Is it that direction or that direction?
I'm guessing.
I don't know either, but it's a
bummer,
that's for sure.
What direction is it? I wish I could see. Do you have the video or just the audio clip?
I've only heard the audio, but I can ask if we have some video.
I want to know where was he pointing when he said this direction or that direction? And he's asking these, obviously these are little kids. It's in outer space, says one of the kids. Yeah, but is it in this direction or that direction? I sound like I'm doing Todd Herman's Jay Inslee impression there.
I have an app that could show him precisely where it's at.
Wait, I got to play this again. Nicole just got the soundbite in, so I hadn't heard it until I just played it.
Does anybody know where Mars is? Where's Mars? It is. Which direction is it? Do you know? Is it that direction or that direction?
I'm guessing.
I don't know either, but it's above us, that's for sure.
What did he say? But it's in at the end? But it's enormous?
Play it again.
No, I've played it twice already. Okay, I'm obsessed with this now. Okay, does he say it's enormous right at the end of this soundbite? Yeah. Okay, I'm sorry. This is the last time I'll play it. This hour.
Does anybody know where Mars is? Where's Mars?
In outer space.
It is. Which direction is it? Do you know? Is it that direction or that direction?
I'm guessing.
I don't know either, but it's above us, that's for sure.
I think he says, but it's enormous. That's for sure. And I would suggest that on a planetary scale, it's not that enormous.
It kind of sounds like he's saying it's above us. I don't know. Right?
Oh,
yeah,
above
somebody
us?
Else said above us. Yeah, there's some people. Yep, all the texters are saying he says above us.
I was pressing my headphones tight against my ears, trying to figure out. Okay, but it's above us.
But technically, it could be below us.
Of course, that's what I was just about to say. This is a guy who tells us. He tells us that, yeah, I got into Stanford, but I left the first year because I couldn't afford it, and went to Willamette University for his law degree. Yes, he had to leave Stanford because of finances. Wink, wink, wink. Where's Mars? That's one of the funniest things I've heard in a long time. Oh, all right. Bowie's going to take us out, and then the Big Lead 2 is coming up next. Sky. He's told us not to blow it, 'cause he knows.